You know, Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is the expressed image of our Father. You want to know what God's heart is? You really want to know what He thinks? Then look at Jesus. Because if you try to truly get a true value and an understanding of the Father without Jesus, if you go even in the old covenant sometimes and you try to get it, because some of those things can be a little confusing to us at times. I mean, I've had people have questions about God. If God is love, then how would He do this and how would He do that? But let me say something to you. You always have to filter everything through Him. Because by Him, the Scripture tells us, everything was made. Everything was created. Heaven, earth, under it, everything was by Him and for Him. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how highly exalted He is by His Father. That's what the Father thinks of His Son. Now, they're one in spirit, but that's what He thinks of Him. And we know what Jesus thinks of His Father. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He loves us so much. And I'll tell you, see, that's where Paul said it like this. He tried to get the church to see this. He said, faith worketh by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. We won't struggle with faith and trusting God when we have the revelation of His love for us. And really, He helps us because Jesus, God in the flesh, showed up beginning to reveal things that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. See, a lot of people didn't know God. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 2. The natural man does not understand the things of God. Can't even discern it. And yet Jesus would come on the scene and say, you a parent? You got any kids? If they need some bread, what are you going to give them? You're going to give them something besides bread? You're going to give them something that would be harmful to them? No. See, He was God in human form, was saying things to humanity to try to get them to see His heart and to really know who He is. Oh, glory to God. See, that in itself, and we'll deal with this later down the road because we're going to be getting into some things in the weeks to come. But that in itself takes care of the question, is it God's will to bless or to heal or to prosper? If you just go back to being a parent, and I'm talking about any parent that's in his right mind, guys. I mean, I know there's some people out there that are not in their right mind. And, you know, they're yielding to demonic spirits and things of that nature. But I'm talking about anybody in their right mind love their children. Matter of fact, we all go, we give up of ourselves and we go do things and work and so we can provide for them. Because we want it good for them. We want it even better than what we had it. And if anybody won't be religious and have a religious spirit about them, even we like it pretty good. I mean, we want it good for ourselves, I mean. But we especially want it good for our kids. And even our grandkids. That's why Peter stood up and said, this is promises to you and to your children. God had said this, the Holy Ghost had even recorded earlier. This is to you and your children and your children's children. This is the heart of God. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I don't mind singing what a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's given to you and to me for our benefit and for our blessing. Everybody doing good this morning? How about everybody online? Y'all doing good this morning? Welcome. We welcome everybody on Facebook Live. Glory to God. We believe you're in the right place at the right time. We're so glad you joined us this morning. And we're trusting God. I know you're trusting God. We're all believing God together here. Because let me say something to you. There's things in the presence of God when you take time to separate yourself from other things and come in and just minister to the Lord and receive of the Lord, things happen. You know, we refer to this. Now, I'm getting a little ahead in my message. Glory to God. I tell you what, guys, y'all sit in. We'll receive the offering at the end. How about that? Let's change it up a little bit. Sometimes you need to change things up. Do something different. Praise the Lord. You never underestimate, and I want to share this with you, you never underestimate times that you spend with God. I don't care if it's your quiet time. I don't care if you're sitting in your recliner. I don't care if you're walking outside in the back of your yard. I don't care if you go out at night and look at the stars and start talking to the Lord. But especially when you gather and come in here and worship and minister to the Lord. You see, we talked about this last week. We've been talking about the spirit within and the spirit upon. We looked at that Paul and Barnabas. Well, really, at that time, he was Saul. We see that Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. And then we talked about how you see in Acts chapter 10, 11, and 12, it's all about Peter. But starting in Acts 13 to the end of the book, it's Paul. And what his ministry and what happens in his life. But we see in Acts chapter 13, there were certain prophets and teachers. They were at Antioch and they were gathered together at the church there in Antioch. So it referred to the church. And the Bible says as they were ministering to the Lord, they were fasting. Fasting means they just separated themselves. They were fasting and praying. And as they ministered to the Lord, it listed five men, started with Barnabas and ended with Saul. The Holy Ghost said, well, how'd he say it? He said it through one of the prophets. There was three other prophets there and teachers besides Barnabas and Saul. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, unto the work that I've called you to. And they laid hands on them, prayed over them, spoke words over them. And the Bible says they were sent forth, not by the three men, but by the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost was using their bodies and ministering and accomplishing these things. He was operating from their heart, through their mouth, and through their hands. And yet we see the very next chapter that Barnabas and Saul is not referred to as prophets, they're referred to as the apostles. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says, and he gave some. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Fivefold ministry gifts that the Lord has established and gave to men. To equip saints, to minister to saints, to prepare them, to equip them for the work of ministry themselves in their lives. And yet we see that through that meeting, through that time, through coming together. Just coming together, these men. Five men. And yet God graced Paul and Barnabas and equipped them with the office and the anointing of the apostle to go forth and to do what they did. See, it takes an anointing. It takes something from heaven, my brother and sister. Something has to be downloaded from above. Something has to come from above. I'm not talking about natural or normal. I'm talking about supernatural. I'm talking about divine impartation. Deposits of heaven that comes in just when people gather. So I say to you, never underestimate the time that you get into a meeting or get into a place. That's why it's good to go to church. That's why it's good. Like I said, we don't go to church to get brownie points. We don't go to church so that God won't be mad at us if we don't. We go to minister to Him and to honor and worship Him, and yet He desires to reciprocate and minister to us, and He likes to impart things. Just like when Paul said, I long to see you. I'm coming to Rome. I'm coming together with you. But when I come, I'm going to impart some things. Some spiritual things are going to be imparted. We're not talking about just learning something. Let's read a couple of Bible scriptures and learn something. Let's memorize a few things. No, we're talking about something that comes from heaven. Just like the sound came from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. Well, He's already here. He came. He hasn't left. But yet now He can still suddenly impart things when people are gathered, just like they were gathered in that upper room. And we actually see two men who were in one phase of their life in ministry, by being together and ministering to the Lord and coming together and just praying and worshiping, that now they step over into another phase of their life and ministry that the Lord's called them to. He said, the work that I've called you into. I'm sure when Paul and Barnabas went to that gathering, they didn't know that that was going to take place. It doesn't say they did. But yet, the Holy Ghost ministered through people. See, that's the Spirit within. And it's also the Spirit upon you to minister and do certain things. And you don't have to be in the fivefold ministry for these things to operate and happen. You don't have to be a fivefold ministry gift to step from the office of the prophet and teacher into the apostle. You can be a believer. You can be a businessman. You can be anybody. But you can be in a meeting. You can be gathered together. And yet God, by His power, something from heaven can do something for you. There's divine grace deposits that God can do things for you that you can never do in your own effort, in your own ability. He can set you up and have you in a place a day or two from that moment, or a few weeks or a few months, and yet you find yourself in the divine will of God, the perfect will of God. But it would not have happened apart from those impartations and what the Holy Ghost brings to your life. That's why it's so important. You know, we've talked about many things. You know, we've referred to the Holy Spirit. He's referred to as a well. Well refers to water, type of the Spirit. John 7, Jesus referred to as rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being, your belly. This spake he of the Spirit. We know there's a difference between a river and a well. There is a difference between a river and a well, even in the natural. It's two different experiences. We talked about this. We looked in the book of Acts. We talked about the new birth, and we talked about the baptism, or what called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are not going back through that again today because I've covered it so many times in its archive, so you can go back and listen to it. But there is a different experience. Hallelujah. Philip went and preached Christ to the people at Samaria. He preached the word. He preached Christ. They believed and received the word of God and were baptized. And according to Jesus in Mark 16, he that believes and is baptized is saved. And yet after that, they sent Peter and John to him. After when they come down, laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for he was not yet fallen upon any of them. That's a different experience. Paul in the upper coast of Ephesus came in Acts 19. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Since you believed, meaning you were born again. You believed on Jesus. They said, we don't even know what you're talking about, this Holy Ghost stuff. That's why Paul had to write letters to people, even to Christians, to say, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning things of the Spirit. The word gifts, it says spiritual gifts. The gifts is italicized. You go to the original, it's talking about things, not a thing. Things. Plural. Many things pertaining to the Holy Ghost and His ministry and operation. He's the third person of the Godhead. And He's here. And He lives in you. He carries out the will of heaven, the will of the Father in Jesus. He doesn't speak of Himself. Jesus said, He's taken the things that are of me, and He's going to show them to you, and He's going to minister them to you. He's going to guide you in these things. He said, it all come from the Father. The Father's given these things to me. That's why He's going to take the things that the Father's given to me and that which is of me, and then He's going to show them and give them to you and guide you in these things. So important today. So important. We talked about the Spirit of love that's inside of us. God is love. The Spirit of God dwells in us. The number one way you're going to be conditioned and grow and develop by being led by the Holy Ghost in your life is being led and yielding to love. I'm talking about divine love. Because on a daily basis, we deal with people in our lives. We deal with our children. We deal with our spouses. We deal with our grandkids. We deal with people. And how many of you know that people can be perfect in spirit? I'm talking about their spirit is sealed with the third person of the Godhead. But they still have a body and they still have a mind. And that's not perfect. See, we've not got our glorified bodies yet. When we get our new resurrected glorified bodies, they'll be perfect. And then we'll come to a time we won't have to renew our mind, our soul. But when you deal with people, and people deal with people all the time, you're going to have to yield and learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. And the number one way, and we talked about this, is you're going to have to yield to love, divine love. It will teach you. It will train you about the Holy Ghost. Because the fruit of the Spirit, which is the nine fruit, is talking about the well on the inside of you that benefits you. That benefits others. Because others can see what's coming from the fruit is coming from your life. But really, it helps you. Keeps you in a place of peace. See, the fruit of the Spirit is love, Galatians chapter 5. And all the other eight hubs out of love, because love, that's what God is. All the kindness and the meekness and the self-control. See, guys, this is the work of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. To the degree that John said this, very, very powerful statement. I just quote him. I didn't come up with it. But I think it originated from heaven. John said a statement like this. He said, if you don't love, then you don't even know God. He's talking about divine love. If you don't walk in love and yield to love, then do you really know how to yield and to walk in fellowship and let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you? I know sometimes you get over in this and people are like, I don't know. I don't know if I like that. Because what happens is sometimes we all yield to the flesh and we get over in areas. And like I said, we're not perfect in our flesh and we're not perfect in our thinking. That's why we're getting our mind renewed continually. That's why we're constantly and continually thinking on or should be feeding on the Word of God. Glory to God. Helps us. There's purpose in this stuff. Like I said, it's not to get attaboys. It's not like, oh, I'm a Christian, and, you know, since I tell people that I'm a Christian or somebody see me pray at the restaurant, you know, I probably need to act like one and I probably need to go to church. And because if I don't go to church, then I told them I was a Christian, but they're probably not going to think I am a Christian or that I'm backslid if I don't go. That is crazy. But you know, people think that way. And they have no clue or no revelation what the purpose, and I want to emphasize the word purpose. What is the purpose of our lives? What is the purpose of being here? How does God look at this thing? The Scripture tells us that since He died for us, that we should no longer live for ourselves. Well, what does that leave? So that means we yield to Him. You remember Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? But you're not doing what I say. I'm not talking about what He just speaks to in your heart. Right here. But we can. And like I said, I'm not here to beat you up this morning. Hallelujah. I'm just letting you know and making all of us a conscious and aware of what we're here and who's in us. And we can know more how to yield to Him. We can grow in these things. We can grow in grace. We can learn more when it's Him and when it's not, even in the little things. I mean, y'all can identify with this. You're going somewhere. Be on a little trip. Could be just going to somebody's house. Could be going on vacation. And all of a sudden, something comes up to you, and you think about something you needed. You thought about carrying or bringing. But you say, nah, I mean, your mind sort of gets out of it because you start reasoning it out, and you think, well, we're not going to do that, really. But or you just get focused on something else, and you get distracted, and it sort of leaves you. And then you get in the car, and you start somewhere, or you get to a place, and something shows up, something comes up, and you go, I knew. See, I had that in me. I thought about that earlier. I thought about that. Well, it wasn't just you thinking. There was something that come up from the inside, come up to your understanding and brought light to your understanding. And yet, for whatever reason, we get distracted. We didn't listen to it. We've all can identify with that. But you know we can grow in that and pay attention to it more. I said we can get to where we'll go ahead and obey those promptings. I'm talking about even in the little areas. And the more we yield to those promptings in the little areas, it will condition us for the greater areas. That's why I said in the area of love. See, God's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. We could say it like this, and a spirit of love, or the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. See, we have the spirit of God is love. We got the spirit of God in us. So it really, I don't know of a greater area, like I said, that you can be trained in and developed in. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit than in the area of love when it comes to people. It will condition you. It will help you. And then in other decisions you have to make, it will condition your heart to be it will condition you to be more sensitive to your heart than just your understanding. Because even when it comes to people, sometimes if you go to just yield to your understanding and what you're thinking at the moment, I mean, sometimes you want to, if you yield to your thinking, you want to jack slap somebody. If you just yield to your thinking, somebody cuts you off, you just want to ram them. If you yield to your thinking, I'm talking about that thought that came to you at the moment. It wasn't a God thought, but if you yielded to that thought, I mean, because you have the thought, oh, to just ram them. Well, won't you just yield to that? Go ahead. No, we don't go ahead, do we? We take those thoughts captive. Well, that's little things we can understand, but I'll tell you, there's other things we can get over into this stuff, and it helps us. Why am I saying all these things? Because I believe going forward, especially with what's going on around us and the spirit of Antichrist that's in this world and is manifesting itself at this time, it is so important that we are so conscious of the one who lives on the inside of us. And we're really aware and we pay attention and we acknowledge him in all of our ways and let him direct us. It'll keep us out of a situation where we'll be in the right place at the right time. We won't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's very important. And we talked about the anointing and the unction that we have. In context, in 1 John 2:20 and 2:27, we see in context that those scriptures are in context about the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world and how that we have an unction on the inside and we've got an anointing that will teach us and guide us. Oh, glory. Praise the Lord. Now, we even talked about last week as we finished up, we talked about how that Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, you need to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you, that was given to you by the laying on of hands. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And if you go back to the first epistle, Paul talked about the gift. He said, neglect not the gift that's in you, which was given you by prophecy and the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Remember, we talked about Acts 13 just a few minutes ago, how that when they were in a service, we likened it, they gathered together in a service, and they were ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost said, they were praying and ministering to the Lord, worshiping, and the Holy Ghost said. And then they laid hands on them, prayed over them. That means words were spoken. Well, Paul spoke some words over Timothy, and he laid his hands on him. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he referred to it was his hands that was laid on him. And then in the first epistle, or the first letter he wrote to him, he said, the gift that was given to you by prophecy and with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. He's referring to himself. He's the one who laid hands on him, spoke things over him, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Well, see, something came upon Timothy. Something was imparted to him to do what he was called to do. Let me tell you something. This stuff don't really happen apart from the Spirit of God and us cooperating with the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we're going to truly be where we need to be, go where we need to go, run the race that is set before us, finish the course that God has laid out and prepared for us, it's not apart from the Spirit of God. That's why we don't need churches trying to filter the Holy Ghost out. We need to give Him total liberty and freedom. And not be concerned what people think. Well, I don't know about that stuff, you know. That stuff's sort of crazy and weird, and I don't know. You know, people think I'm crazy. Well, it doesn't matter what people think. People going to think what they going to think anyway. Why don't we follow... Why don't we follow the one who made himself of no reputation? Why do we want a reputation anyway? If somebody wants to label you with a wrong reputation, that's their problem. They're not your judge. You don't stand before them at the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't matter. I mean, I've had people think I lost my mind years ago. I'm talking about family. Because I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. And I listen to other Christian music besides hymns. You know, I listen to Christian rock stuff, you know, that's of the devil. Well, that's what they call it, Christian. I mean, and they said it's just the devil. I mean, I've been in those conversations with people. Well, you know... You've lost your mind. Well, you're in good company. That's what Jesus' own family said about him. But King James said he's besides himself. If you look up at other translations, they said, you're crazy. You have gone crazy. Can you imagine somebody telling Jesus that he had gone crazy? Now listen, we need to think about that. That's not just a cute little story. Can you imagine that God himself in the flesh has come? And people would turn to God himself and say, you have lost your ever-loving mind. And other people say, not only has he lost his mind, he got a demon. He's demon-possessed. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you know what Jesus said? If they thought this and said this about me, oh, let me just give you a clue. Let me clue you in here a little bit. They're going to say those things about you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. What does it matter? It really don't matter. You know, there's certain scriptures. I know there's purpose in this. So let me just run this out, and we'll get to where I'm going to go to here in just a few minutes. I've always wondered why there's certain scriptures in the Bible. And when I say I wonder, I know in my heart why they're there, but it's like, Lord, I mean, you don't leave out anything. Let me give you a couple. Jesus says, "Come and follow me." My daddy's being buried. I got a funeral service to attend. It's my dad's service. And Jesus is like, so? Now, the King James words doesn't say so. But really, that's what he was saying, so. What does that matter? Let the dead bury the dead. You talking about somebody getting upset. You just told about my daddy. You saying let the dead bury the dead. What are you calling my daddy? What do you mean? I'll take you out. You say anything else about my daddy like that again? Disrespect my family? Disrespect me and me going to and honoring my daddy? Is it in the scripture? Would you be willing if somebody close to you, like your parent? or a child or a wife or husband was to pass away and God told you to go do something else and let everybody else just do the service, would you do it? Everybody say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'd do it at any cost. I'll never deny you. I heard those words from a guy in the Bible. And then when crunch time showed up, he denied him 3 times. Oh, here's another one. Jesus, I hate to interrupt you, your service and stuff, but Mama needs to talk to you. Mama and the brothers and sisters out there, but Mama needs to speak with you. And he turns to the people that are sitting and hearing the word of God. Not just his disciples only, but people are sitting to the word. And he said, behold, Mama. Here's Mama right here. Here's my Mama. Jesus, you don't need to say stuff like that. That's disrespecting your mother. Let me ask you a question. Does God want to disrespect people? Absolutely not. Was Jesus disrespecting these people when he said these things? No. What he was talking about, he's not saying you can't ever go to a funeral service of your loved ones. He's not saying that you can't talk to Mama when Mama wants to talk to you or calls you on the phone. What is he talking about? He's talking about what are you listening to? What's leading you? Is it the Spirit of God truly leading you? Or is it pressure? Or is it's if I don't do this, then it's going to appear a certain way. If I don't do this, if I don't go there, if I don't go with them, if I don't say yes, if I don't do what they say, then they're going to think. I want to say that again. If I don't do this or I don't, they're going to think. They're not going to probably think good of me, or they're going to get upset with me, or they're going to get offended at me. Jesus said, behold my Mama and my brethren. He said, whosoever does the will of God is my Mama. And he used the word whosoever. And he called the whosoever his mother. Not Mary. He said, whosoever is my Mama. You know, you start thinking about stuff like that. It really causes you, listen to me, listen to what I'm saying. It causes you to just sort of pause a minute and just acknowledge him on the inside about things in your life. Now listen, I've done things that after I've done it, I knew I shouldn't have done it. It really didn't profit. I'm not talking about it was bad or anything, but it really did not profit anything. I knew in my heart I didn't want to do it, didn't need to go. But I just did it to save face and didn't want, you know, people want you to go and do things like that. You understand what I'm saying? But really, guys, really listen to me. We need to listen more. It's not that we want to say no to everybody. We're not going to say no to everybody. There's things the Lord's going to bid you go. I mean, you look at the book of Acts. There was times when Paul, there was times the Spirit, you know, bade them to go. And then there's other times he forbid them to go. Both. You know, we can walk in this. And a lot of times we let people put pressure on us. But you're never to be led by pressure. And remember, you're never to be led by price or anything. You're to be led by the Spirit. You know, we talked about these things. Now, we're going to close with this. Go with me. Like I said, let's make this legal. I got to read a scripture. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of times I read, you know, my services, we look at a lot of scriptures. Most of the time, we look at a lot of scriptures, but sometimes people, they get real religious, you know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's start with this. Even though we looked at the scripture recently, I want to connect something with it. And let me just say this, guys. I know sometimes when you say things about mama and funerals and stuff like that, but those things are in the Bible. Are they not in the Bible? They're in the Bible. But I know how people feel, and I know people shut down on you, and they think, you're just saying, people will take something and say, you're just saying that I don't ever need to go to a funeral again. That is not what I said. Do not hear what I didn't say. People will say that. You ever said something to somebody, even your husband or wife or child, and they say, well, then you're just saying that I can't. No, that is not what I said. You're not getting it. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant to say. You're hearing something else. Those scriptures are in the Bible for a purpose. And the Lord loves his mama to the degree, listen to me, that when he was at Calvary's tree, he turned to John and said, behold your mother. And she looked at her and said, behold your son. Let me interpret that for you. You better take care of her. You watch after her. You make sure that she's taken care of. Now, he loved mama. But he just knew when it come to God, and there's times in our life, and I know I keep going on this, but I feel it pressed by the Holy Spirit. There are times in our life that we're going to have to make a decision between God and people. The Bible tells us in the Gospels that Jesus saw people, and at times people would almost, sort of like King Agrippa, they almost believed him, would turn and follow him. But the Bible says they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. In other words, that means they thought more about what people would think of them. If I do this, then I'm going to lose this friendship. Listen. When I give my life back to the Lord, and especially after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I had hung around a certain group of people. And I'm talking about for years. Years. Not a year. Years. People that I knew that I was in school with, everything, and even people that I was working with at the time. And I immediately severed those relationships. When I say sever them, I knew that we had nothing else in common. And at that time, the Lord wasn't wanting me to go preach to them and try to get them converted. You're going to go hang out somewhere where you don't need to be hanging out. No, I'll just go witness to them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to go witness to them, all right. You'll be like the scripture says, you'll be like the dog returning to his own vomit, and the spirit that was controlling you will go get him seven more spirits and come and take control of you, and you'll be in a worse position you was when you started. That's what the Bible says. So sever. And yet on the surface, people think, well, he's holy in there. Some people understood. They knew that I chose Jesus, and they respected that. But some people, they don't. Well, he's got Jesus now. He's one of them holy rollers. He thinks he's better than everybody else. What are you going to do? You going to go try to prove to him? No. You're going to have to turn and walk and follow him. And you're going to have to pray for them and say, Lord, take care of it. Some of these people now, I ran into a couple of guys here about a little over a week ago in Sons up here at the grocery store. Guys I ran around with. And we stopped and had a conversation. I was out here early one Sunday morning years ago. And two of the guys, I was out blowing the parking lot here early one Sunday morning, about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. They drove by in a car. I knew what they were doing. They're out early on Sunday morning. Yeah, because you could tell when they come and roll down the window. But they pulled in. But you know why? Because they saw me. And I hadn't seen them in years. But you know, something drew them back to come in and turn around and come in here. Because they knew who I was and they knew what I do. You know what I told them? I said, "So good to see you." I said, "Y'all come see me sometime. I'd love to come have you visit. No pressure." One of those guys I saw a little over a week ago. One of those guys, when his life was in danger, and he almost died twice, and he was in UAB hospital, guess who they called? Who you going to call? You're going to call a Holy Ghost. Yes. But yeah, he's going to go. Yeah, so guess what happened? But you don't go preach at them. You go love them. And you go lay hands on them in the name. What a beautiful name it is. Praise the Lord. Y'all ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We got to shift gears here if I'm going to get this closed out today. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Well, let's back up to verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Somebody say in a mystery. Somebody say mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And of course, we know the wisdom of God was the if you back up in context, he talked about in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. And then it goes on down in verse 24, it says, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we know that Paul was speaking about the mystery of God. What he was talking about, he was talking about the preaching of Christ and what he would accomplish for us. To the place that he said, if the devil had known what was going to take place, listen, for us, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because see, the devil doesn't like you. Well, it's mutual. Between me and him, I don't like him either. But see, I already know my outcome's a lot better than his. And sometimes you'll have to remind him of that when he's tormenting you. He does not like to hear that. Talk to him about his future. And then talk to him about your future. Because he'll try to attack you. And then he'll try to bring the spirit of fear on you. And you know, the spirit of fear is really traced back to the fear of death. First Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, Jesus came and became human, took on flesh and blood that he could deliver us, destroy the works of the devil, come to deal with him and to deliver us from the fear of death. Because if anything happens to us down here, oh my God, the worst case scenario is it could kill us. We're going to die. Oh my God, we're going to die. Well, if you're a believer, that's good. What do you mean good, Roger? That's not good. Well, then why did Paul says if you're a Christian and you die, you go to be with Christ, which is far better. So if you go be with Jesus, he didn't say it was equal as being here. He says not. He didn't say it was just better. He says it's far better. You know what? I'm beginning to see people don't believe what they really don't believe the word. And you can tell by how they act. Because if they really believed that if something happened to them and they went to be with Jesus, which is far better, then why they're so full of fear? When you've already been delivered from that spirit. Are you delivered or you're not delivered? I know, but will y'all just let things on the inside of you come out? Listen, I understand death is an enemy. And it's never been a friend of God. It's an enemy. And so, yes, we resist death. Nobody wants to die because it's not a friend. It was never God's intention. So, yeah, we're going to resist it as long as we're here. And we're going to try to fulfill our race and run our course with joy. And listen, go for the goat and do everything we need to do down here. But we all know if the Lord tarries, we're going through that door. I'm talking about the door of physical death. But see, that's the last enemy that will be put under. I'm talking about physical death. Spiritual death's done been dealt with. The physical death side of it, that's when the Bible talks the last enemy to be put under foot. He's talking about physical death. But we don't need to fear it as a believer. See, we got a different spirit on the inside of us. You can't scare me with heaven. And the longer we go, I about got as many on the other side. I know it's still weighted over here. We still got more here. But I'm talking about there's several on the other side that I know and love very well. So don't threaten me. Do not try to threaten me or scare me. But that doesn't mean I want to go. I want to stay because that's what God has for me. And there's still people here that I love. And need me. That's what Paul said. He said, it's more needful. He said, really, I'm in the strait between two. I'm having a hard time with this. Because I really would like to go because I know what's awaiting me. See, he's done been there. He done seen it. I wonder, we don't have scripture that says this, but I just wonder. Can I wonder this morning? Oh, wonder. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, let me see. I'm a wonder. When Paul went to the third heaven, is it possible? Is it possible that he actually got a glimpse of the people that he persecuted? For example, Stephen. What if he actually saw some of those people while he was there, and he saw the love that they had for him? You reckon that would inspire you to write a scripture? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because his heart would condemn him for what he did to precious people, women and children. Put in prison, people murdered and killed. Because of him. And yet later on he writes to the church and says, I have wronged no man. I wonder how you can say that. Because he's living out of another realm. He's done been to that place. He's seen things that it's unlawful for a man to utter. He's seen heaven. He's been there. And yet, I'm talking about in the spirit. He left and came back. And yet, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell you whether I was even in my body. Oh, I'm telling you, it's glorious. We don't need to fear it. And if you're truly delivered from fear, then you can truly live. And you're not concerned. Now listen, I'm not talking about being foolish and tempting God. Like the devil told Jesus, won't you just go up on top of the building and jump off and the angels will take care of you. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about doing stupid, crazy, demonic, devilish things and yielding to the devil, you know, and then saying God will take care of me no matter what. That ain't what we're talking about, guys. I'm just talking about the reality here of something heavenly that's greater. And we need to be mindful of it while we're walking here. That's why Paul told the church, he said, you set your affection on things above. You set your affection on things above, not just on things on the earth. Paul understood we have to deal with things on the earth, but he's talking about where your heart is, where your thinking is, what your conscience of. Day in and day out. We're not going to get through with this. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm just thinking of that song that comes to me. We sang years ago. It talks about nothing in this world can satisfy me. Jesus, you alone can fill me up. I could gain the world and all its treasures, but all those things would never be enough. It is your love. It is your goodness. It is your kindness and compassion. Fills me up inside. It is your grace. Your tender mercies. Now listen to this. It is your presence in my life that satisfies. What's that presence? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. It's Christ in you. You know, hallelujah. My family, so kind to me, they let me go. They have for the last several years and go off. I just went this past week. Previous years, I get to go spend some time, go down south, go to the coast, meet with some fellow ministers, play a little golf, eat a little food, talk, just to get away. And it's fun, and it's good. And you get to see people you haven't seen in a while. And listen, it's wonderful. But the more and more I go, it's just like all the stuff that's taking place in the country. You know, you're not having sports, you're not having all this. And the more you go, you realize you don't miss it like you thought you would. Now listen to me. I want things, I don't like, I'm going to stop. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail here. I don't like things that try to control, that don't need to be in control, trying to control you or control us. And we're the land of the free. This whole thing was established, our Constitution and all that. So I'm not going to get in all that right now. So I like things where we have freedom and we can do. But at the same time, I'll say this to you. The more I go along in life, especially now and where we are, I know why the Spirit of God just sort of had me not only minister these things to us, because I include myself in this. I've always told you this. I'm not just coming here to preach to you. I include myself in this. And I realize how more important it is, or how it's most important, or however you want to phrase it, the proper lingo there, to really set our affection on things above and really be mindful of the one who's on the inside of us and really learn as we go forward in everything. Because sometimes we go to God in the biggies, you know, because they're big decisions. We got to make them, and that's right. Well, and that, yes, we do. But I'm telling you, we get conditioned more on a daily basis of just being mindful, being God inside minded, being Holy Spirit minded, love minded. The other stuff around you, it's like the hymn. Now, we'll go a good hymn. You know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And what? The things on earth. What's it going to do? They're going to grow strangely dim. I mean, you'll be thinking, you know, wow, I didn't really, you know, it's not as bad as I thought it was. See, that's the lie the devil is told people out there who received Jesus. He's lied to them and said, if you choose Jesus and you believe on Jesus, then you're going to have to give up everything and you'll not have a life and you'll not enjoy life like these people over here are enjoying life. But remember this. It's just bait. Just like going fishing. You never catch I've never seen anybody catch a fish without any bait on a hook. I've never seen anybody throw a fishing line in the without artificial bait, you know, lure on it, and just throw the line in the water and catch it. Never seen anybody do that. Have you? Now you got to have some kind of bait, because it's the bait that gets the fish, right? Or the fish that attracts the fish, and then the hook set, and it sets a hook in you, and it reels you. But here's the thing: it's not the hook that gets the fish. It's the person sitting in the boat. Not the hook. The person sitting in the boat who reels the fish in, takes the fish off the hook and go, I'm going to fry you. And that's what the devil does. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And he'll set the bait and he'll let you have some pleasure in your flesh. Because that's what he works through. He can only work through the flesh and the mind. For somebody that's not born again, you're already spiritually dead anyway. He don't even have to mess with your spirit because you're dead. He wants to keep you in that dead place by working through your flesh and your mind. And then when you get born again, he can't touch your spirit, man, but he's still going to come at your flesh and your mind. So I found out, the more I go, nothing in this world can really satisfy. Even the things that he's given us to enjoy, I enjoy them, but really, it loses its savor. Yes, Brother Roger. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all ready to worship the Lord? Let's worship the Lord in our giving right here. Now listen, online, that's enough for today. We're going to pick it back up here next Sunday. And I'll try my very best to finish out this series on the Spirit Within and the Spirit Upon. I thought I'd get through it today, but I will try to close it out. Glory to God, next Sunday. And then we'll start a new series. But we will be back here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, online. So if you would like to give, if you're watching, you can do so on Facebook Live. We have a link to our website, our church website. All you have to do is click, go to that link. You can just click on where it says give. It'll walk you through it. Very simple. Hallelujah. But those of you in here who need envelopes, if you didn't already get one, I know a lot of you pick envelopes up when you come in. But if you need one, just raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Hallelujah. Can I read a scripture to you? While those of you are getting everything ready, let me read a scripture. I was thinking about the scripture earlier. It's Psalm 112. Do you know that we have a better covenant established upon better promises? Do you know that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him now? What that means is, because of Him and because of you and I being in Him, the answer is yes. All the promises of God, whether it be an old covenant or new covenant, is still yours, even under the old covenant. And see, under the old covenant, you had to qualify for the promises. Deuteronomy 28 said, if you do this, if you do this, then the good will happen. If you don't, then the curse comes and the bad happens. So see, you qualified by keeping the law. But now, because Jesus obeyed, Paul said in Philippians 2, he was obedient even unto death. True spiritual warfare in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, now, as a believer, you bring every thought captive that the devil comes to your life and says, it ain't going to be good for you. You take that thought and carry it to the obedience of Christ. Because see, now all the promises are yes to you. Everything good is yes to you. Because of being in Him. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. You're in Him if you're born again. So you get the automatic stamp. Yes, He qualified it for you. It was His obedience. That's why you tell the devil to take a hike. And you're a liar. And Jesus died for me, gave this to me. It's my inheritance. He promised it to me. I judge Him faithful who said it was so. And I receive it in the name of Jesus. If I just said that to you today, that's worth the price of admission. But look at here, Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Or the Hebrew word is hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man, that's male or female, that fear of the Lord. We talked about this, I believe, in our Wednesday night services, how I've seen some things concerning the fear of the Lord sort of wane a little bit. I'm not going to get into that right now. We'll talk about that some more on Wednesday nights in the future. He said, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, honors the Lord, has reverence for the Lord, respects Him above all things, and that delights greatly in His commandments. So we say it like this. Now, His words, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Oh, glory to God. Goes on down here in verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Glory to God. He hath dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. That's mentioned over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul even referred to this scripture here when he's talking about giving and receiving. You know, the first three verses right here, you can meditate on these verses. We're going to close this out right here because we need to, I'm going to dismiss you. But you know, you think about this along with other scriptures, and if a man is in his right spiritual mind, I'll say it like this. You know, I was talking about parents being in their right mind. If a person is in their right spiritual mind, you cannot argue for 1 second. I'm talking about 1 second. You cannot debate or argue with anybody that it's God's will to do you good and to bless you big time. I'm going to say that again. If you're in your right spiritual mind, you cannot for 1 second argue or debate anybody about it, whether it's God's will to richly bless you and do good to you. And he's not a respecter of person. It's religion. And it's people taking scriptures out of context and all these other things to twist things around, to tell lies about our Lord and our Father who loves us dearly and wants us to have good. You remember I told you how Jesus is the express image of God? You can't really know God truly without looking at Jesus, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with his power. And he went about what? Doing good and healing. Healing's good, but healing's different from the first part. They're both good, but he said doing good and healing. Because otherwise he just said just went about doing healing. He went about doing good. Do you expect good? If you expect God, you expect good. If you expect God in your week, your month, the rest of this year, if you expect God in your life in any degree, then you're going to have to couple good with it. Because that's what the Lord is. It didn't say the Lord has some goodness. It says that's what the Lord is good. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for this day, for this time that we've gathered here. We thank you for the great love wherewith you've loved us. And Lord, we're ever looking to you for you to reveal to us continually, constantly showing us who you are, the love that you are, the love that you have for us. I think of it, Jesus, we're your bride. You love us dearly. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, you love us so much. You love us, you love us. Oh, how you love us. And we thank you for loving us. We love you because you first loved us. It's affected our lives and our hearts. And in return now, we get to honor you in giving. We get to express to you something that's attached to our heart. You said yourself, we're your treasury is there where your heart be also. So we get to share with you our heart and give unto you. As unto you, we thank you for your grace upon it. Thank you for multiplying the seed that goes out of here. Helps us to sustain here, but it also goes from here to affect other people's lives. We thank you for increasing us, multiplying our seed sown, increasing the fruits of our righteousness. And we give you the glory and praise for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hey, guys, we'll see you back here Wednesday night. Have a blessed week. Praise God.